he walks in.
So I know.
Okay, we're on.
Okay, it is now 4:02, and we'll call this meeting to order. And we do have sufficient people to have a quorum, so we'll get started. So we'll go around, everyone introduce themselves. We're going to start with Jeff.
Jeff Clements, Council Research.
Delmer Lonsdale, Northwest CPAC.
John Roberts, CPAC, number 2.
Raymond Day, Southeast CPAC.
Dr. Chambliss, representative, the City Council President appointee.
Tommy Carter, Council Auditor's Office.
I'll ask everybody to review the January minutes. Have a move. Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Shall begin. And
I have a vote on it. I'm in favor.
Okay, I apologize. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so we are unanimously can move on. All right. Public comment. At this point, we don't have any public comments at now, so we'll go to auditor's report.
Yes, ma'am. Through the chair to the commission, the council auditor's office has not released any reports since the last true commission meeting.
That concludes my report.
Okay, great. Okay, committee reports, audit committee. Audit committee. All right, legislative tracking committee.
Okay, well, you all have my kind of bill count here. Okay. In the December 16 and the January 11, we totaled 40 bills. There were, as usual, quite a lot on land zoning. Appointments were up there at 3. Park and Recreational had 4. Now, the bills that were introduced, though, one of the most interesting is the bill that was made for parks. There's a $30 million expenditure authorized there that covers, I think, 9 items, or 9 or 8 separate parks and a couple miscellaneous items. Appears that there's going to be some major upgrades down at the in the park system. There was another one that's of interest. That is, the food desert problem was addressed again with a fairly substantial grant being made to revamp one of the old buildings and use it as a grocery. Okay. So it kind of cut across lines with historical preservation and remedying the food desert. And there was a third one that I'd like to discuss in a little some length. This is one that Jeff sent late. It was a economic development proposal. It involves a company called the Big Mountain Paper Company. And I did some looking into the Big Mount Paper Company. I can't find any evidence of them ever manufacturing any paper. They were incorporated only last October. And they're a place in located around Palm Beach or Davia Beach. Frankly, this says to me that there has been not sufficient vetting of what's going on. That I don't see how a company like this got a $200,000 grant. And I think we should ask the Office of Economic Development for a copy of their last 2 years' annual report. I haven't been able to find one either, and they're supposed to be making an annual report.
Are they domiciled in Florida or in a, are they domiciled in Florida or in another state?
The Great Mountain.
The Great Mountain.
Oh, they're, I have their address here. Let me see. I'll get it for you. They have a post office address. I see here's an address that President, 301 Southeast 3rd Street, Apartment 503, Dana Beach, Florida.
And where did that address come from?
Yeah, the address is 301 Southeast 3rd Street, Apartment 503, Dana Beach, Florida.
That off of their articles of incorporation.
I'm reading from the paper that the Secretary of State puts out on. Take a look at it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Oh, can I actually see that?
Sure.
There's one question that will. Only ask if they're domiciled in Florida. They are?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're incorporated in Florida.
Know the nature of the grant?
Yes, it's spelled out in the bill. I have one here.
What's the number?
0022-87.
I couldn't find anything online. I was looking for the backup material it's supposed to be on, but it
where is this bill in the cycle, Mr. Clements?
I believe it will be introduced next Tuesday. John, was this on the list that I sent out today?
I didn't see the list you sent out today. This is what you
this
sent
is
out.
The email that the last email you sent out, you said this is with the legislation.
Yeah, I sent you today, like late morning. Okay. Oh. That's maybe even early.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
So this might be the cycle before.
Yeah, because this is a 2022-87.
Yeah. I have that back. Thank you.
Yeah, it would be good if we could. Yeah, there's like some exhibits and things. I didn't have a chance to look at them, but. So in all likelihood, this thing is going to be through the cycle by the time we meet again.
Yeah, it's going to enter. It's going to be introduced on February the 8th, based on Jeff's email from this.
This describes, as you can see, a large-scale development grant in connection with a lease of a new manufacturing facility. Well, from what I can gather, I can't find any trace at all of any knowledge of paper manufacture in the officers or anything else.
And did you look into their DBA, Nanteen?
What?
There's a trade name. It's great. It's USA Great Mountain Paper, Inc., DBA,
oh,
Nanteen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I looked that.
What did you find anything about Nanteen?
Let's see. I had something going. Yes. Well, here's something. Wikipedia says, and I'll read to you, USA Big Mountain Paper, Inc. is a Florida domestic profit corporation filed on October 14, 2021. The following status is listed as active, and the file number is, et cetera.
A lot of times, corporations will use entities they just create as pass-throughs for the parent company, and it looks like Nanteen does wipes and diapers.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I can read from the fact sheet.
Okay, good.
For that bill, if you'd like.
Please.
Nanteen, a manufacturer of various paper products used in both medical and residential settings, is evaluating the purchase and renovation of an existing industrial building in Northwest Jacksonville. The company currently sells its products in over 80 countries. Nanteen is a company that considers itself eco-friendly and only partners with suppliers that provide raw materials from sustainable sources. The Jacksonville facility would be the company's first U.S. manufacturing facility and serve as its U.S. headquarters. The company is evaluating approximately 50 new manufacturing jobs in Jacksonville versus another location in the southeast U.S. The average wage of the jobs is $40,000. The new jobs would be created no later than December 31, 2024. The capital investment for the expansion would be approximately $5.3 million for the purchase of new manufacturing equipment and the renovation of an existing manufacturing building in Northwest Jacksonville. Average payroll for these, annual payroll for these new jobs is $2 million, excluding benefits. The city's contribution would be a Northwest large-scale economic development grant in the amount of $200,000 from the Northwest Jacks Economic Development Fund to help cover the costs related to improvements to an existing industrial building in Northwest Jacks. The company must invest a minimum of $4 million to qualify for the grant.
So they're essentially, if I'm, you didn't say it, but I'm going to infer based on what you said, that Big Mountain Paper, Inc. is essentially a U.S. wholly owned subsidiary that they created in order for them to both qualify for the grant and to set up an organization on our grounds to be able to do so.
That appears to be the case. Nanteen is an international manufacturer. Well, is a, they sell internationally. Let me say that. Sells its products in over 80 countries.
Nanteen.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
N-A-T-E-E-N.
And then Big Mountain Paper is would be the local company.
As I understand the fact sheet, we're going to give them a $200,000 grant. This upon the completion of that estimated $4 million in capital investment?
That's typically the way it works. Let's
see. So basically, it's a return. We invest $200,000, and they're going to multiply that 20 times with a minimum $4 million investment. But it sounds like the total investment is over $5 million, which includes the purchase of the building, bringing in manufacturing equipment, and they're asking the city to put into $200,000 to refurbish the building that's being purchased. I understand the facts presented in that.
What information do we have on Nanteen?
That's nothing in the file that I see about Nateen.
Are these grants typically paid out after the business has completed its investment? Is that the
that's their
money in first, and we're the last money in?
Yes, typically ours is paid on completion of the project.
This is what's called a completion grant.
Well,
or not really.
It's
a grant, but it's out of a special fund.
Yeah, it's out of that Northwest Economic Development Fund. They don't call them all completion grants, even though for the most part they are paid upon complete. The ones that they specifically call completion grants, that's sort of what qualifies them for the grant, is that they complete the building, whatever it is they're going to build. The rest of them have to do with the minimum amount of capital investment or creation of the certain number of jobs at a certain wage level. A completion grant is just if you finish the building, we give you the money.
Okay.
And it's an actual check that we give them, or is it a tax credit from their
advocate?
Not a rev grant.
Okay.
No, it's if it was a rev grant, it would say that. So, yeah, this is going to be just a check.
Mr. Roberts, knowing that this company is going to make a $4 million investment before they receive the $200,000, does that change your feelings?
That changes my feeling. I would like to see some annual reports from this organization. This organization, I mean, our economic development.
Annual reports as in what they file with the Secretary of State, or are you saying?
The Office of Economic Development, correct? They're required to submit an annual report, and to your knowledge, you can't find any for recent years?
I can't find any, and as I understand, they are required to submit an annual report.
Maybe that worthy of a motion by you,
that's
Mr. Roberts?
That's in the way of a motion.
A second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. There's the 2160 West 33rd Street.
Say that address again.
2160
West 33rd Street. That's the only place? That's the only place in reference to the food desert.
So that's where the work is to be done.
Okay.
Is that the Deb's store project?
I don't know.
It doesn't sound like the same. Well,
I don't think it is.
I don't think that's the same address that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, this one, that address is Magnolia Gardens.
Okay. So this Natine project is not the same project as the Food Desert project.
Okay. Okay. About, yeah,
well, that's not the Food Desert.
Okay. No. All right. Just want to make sure I understood.
Oh, okay. You knew I was talking about the Food Desert. I know there are various places in the north side that needed grocery stores and stuff like that. Right. Not mom and pop stores, but need actually grocery stores. You know, to make sure you get nutritional values.
Fresh
for
produce.
Exactly,
things.
For the residents. You can't just, you know, go out and give them anything for me, so it won't do it. That's not the answer. Thank you.
Okay. That basically is all I have.
Any other questions for Mr. Roberts? By the way, I apologize for being late. I got stuck in traffic. I'm assuming that was the Legislative Tracking Committee report?
Yeah.
Okay. My only chair's reports is to let you know that they did confirm February 9th as the date in which the Inspector General Retention Committee will meet to decide on the applicants for Inspector General that we will interview. Once we select the candidates that we're going to interview, that number will determine whether or not it is 2 days of interviews that we do, one full day and one half day, or whether or not it's just one full day. So once we have that information, I will share it. But the interviews are more likely to occur at the end of February, and we'll have to determine whether or not they'll be in person or virtual, but they most likely will be in person for the candidates. So once we have more information, I'll ask I'll ask Jeff to share that with everyone just in case you're interested. The other thing, Jeff has sent a request to Mr. Grivey to come at our March meeting or send a designee to speak. The quarterly reports in iCloud's implementation. So hopefully we'll be able to get a chance to actually hear from him, someone within his office, because I know we had a lot of questions regarding that at our last meeting as well. And that is my report. Anyone have any questions on those two items?
What are the odds Mr. Grivey will show up?
I think Jeff could answer that question better than I could. So if you guys have a lot of questions that you want to ask on both of the subjects, I would highly suggest we do the same thing that we did with the sheriff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We come up with them first, possibly send them to Jeff, and we can distribute them to everyone. So that when everyone has a chance to see where each of us are in our head, and we cover all the topics that we otherwise would want to get covered. That's something that we've been talking about, especially on iCloud, for the last 4 years. so it's been a long implementation, and I've been on both sides of that conversation when we've talked about how amazing OneCloud is going to be, to the implementation is going to be interesting, to where we are now. So it's a whole space of the topic. All right, so why don't we go into old business with the Sheriff's Office staffing proposal. So, Commissioner Day, you said that you were going to come back to this meeting with some more
information. Yeah, so I am I'm working on a comprehensive proposal that will address the staffing shortage, the $10 million mental health co-responder grant, and the ramping up funding on the Kids Hope Alliance. And I hope to have that ready for the March meeting. So I have nothing to report today.
Did anyone have anything that they wanted to add on this topic that they may have also been developing themselves as well?
Has the Sheriff's Office advanced any proposal?
No.
Thanks for your question, Commissioner Day. Has the sheriff's office...
No, they have not. In other words, the sheriff has not made a specific request for funding. This is a conversation that I have had with the sheriff after his visit with us in October. I had lunch with him in November, and I had been working on this proposal independent. But I can tell you that he is very supportive of anything that could be done to remediate the shortage in staffing.
And because we're still far out before budget hearings for next year's budget, but would you anticipate that this is something that he would either include or discuss in his next budget proposal, or do you think this is something?
No, I think he, if this commission were to recommend an increase in staffing at the magnitude that I've been discussing, I think he's willing to incorporate that into his budget request for his final year in office. So that's my sense after my discussions with him.
Well, frankly, I think that we need something from him before we make any recommendations.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we're all able to do an analysis. We know that there are data points that show that the average staffing is at one level and we're at a different level. And if it's the recommendation of this commission that we think it should be the policy of the city of Jacksonville that we should have a staffing level of X, there's nothing that prevents us from that making that recommendation. And that's my position.
What is X?
2.36 per 1,000.
Where did it come from?
The Florida Department of Law Enforcement.
What does it say?
It says that the average staffing for city police departments in the city, state of Florida is 2.36 officers per 1,000 population. And I will have that available for you to look at. It's not a secret. It's on the FDLE website. It's pretty accessible. But I will present, I will bring a screenshot of that page.
Yeah, go ahead. I feel
Are you aware that within the last year or two there was a study made on this whole subject?
Yeah, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and their report is not final.
No.
Well, why don't we let him finish his thought and then...
Well, I thought he was asking me if I was aware of a study, and I said yes, that I was. Okay. That's the report.
Was that the study you were referring to, or...
Yeah, that's the study I'm referring to. As I can tell, it's complete.
Not according to the sheriff. You have a copy of the completed report?
Online.
Okay. through the sheriff's office?
I don't.
Or what is the source? If you could share that link.
Oh, yeah.
If you can give it to Mr. Clements and he could distribute that, then we can all look at that.
Okay.
The only other thing I would say is I was curious because you had mentioned at the last meeting that Mr. Weinstein was also interested in providing some information.
Yes.
And I was curious if that's also going to be part of...
That will be part of my overall proposal, yes. Okay. We know from Mr. Darity's presentation in December, we're spending, $25, $28 million a year on programming through Kids Hope Alliance. And I asked specifically, Mr. Weinstein, do you have an idea of what the total need is? And he says, we're actually in the process of trying to determine that. So they have engaged a consultant to analyze the population base in Duval County and to determine what is the total pool of youth that are in need of those types of services. And he hopes to have a good bit of that information, enough that it can be discussed by March. He doesn't expect the final report to be until April, but I think that we could have enough information that I'm willing to present it into a request for this commission to approve, and with the details to be worked out whenever the Kids Hope Alliance receives that final report. We know that we're not reaching every child. That's a given. What we don't know is how many more need to be reached. And we can approximate that with some degree of certainty. And I think that the order of magnitude of accuracy will only increase the closer we get upon receipt of that final report. But so that would be, that's the methodology I'm using to move forward.
And it's more of, it's not just a report to talk about how much funding they need based on where the need is. Does it, is it also going to talk about suggestions as to how they would use any kind of additional funding?
No, I'm not going to get into micromanaging the Kids Hope Alliance. My approach is, we know the Kids Hope Alliance has been up and running now for, 6 or 7 years perhaps. We know that of that $28 million or $25 million, we know where it's going. Mr. Darity explained it to us. And, Mr. Weinstein is very glad that somebody outside of the Kids Hope Alliance is willing to look at this situation. And so he's been very generous with his time, and he's very supportive of at least this, situation being evaluated. And we all know there are thousands and thousands of children in this community that are, the term that KHA uses is at hope. They don't use the term at risk. And what we're trying to do is simply to ascertain what is that number of children. And we know that based on the current level of funding, they reach X number of children. But what about the ones that aren't being reached? That's where we need to go next. And if we really want to address, prevention of crime, then this community is going to have to make the commitment to invest in the future. Otherwise, we'll be having to have a police force of 4,000 people, not 2,300. As this city grows, the problem could literally mushroom on us. It took Jacksonville 200 years to reach 1 million people. You look at the growth in the last 10 years. There's every reason to expect that we will reach the second 1 million people in the next 40 years. So as that population base increases, the needs are going to increase in public services. One of those needs is how do we address
the youth and the community that, you know, are, I still use the term at risk, but the youth that are at risk of not being able to reach their full potential because of the challenges that they face every day. And what can the Kids Hope Alliance do to prevent those outcomes from occurring that we know are not good? So that's my approach.
How are we going to determine the number?
That's what Mr. Weinstein is in the process of determining with his consultant. And we can approximate that with some extrapolations. We know that we're reaching X number of children with the current funding. And based on the new census data, we now know that there's a pool that we're not reaching. So we're trying to do, and it doesn't have to be precise, but we do have to have an idea of the numbers of children that are at risk. You know, we may find that we're currently reaching 28,000 children, and we need to reach 78,000. So we need...
need a profile.
May I finish, you know, Mr. Roberts? May I finish my comment?
Sure.
All right. So if the shortfall is 50,000 children, then we know that we have to make up, we have to deliver services to an additional 50,000 children, and we can know what the cost per child is now, use that cost per child, and simply project out what we're going to need to spend to reach the full population.
Well, it seems to me you need a profile of an at-risk population. There's age, education, income, the rest of it. And once you nail that down, you apply that to your census statistics, and you have a number.
That's what the Kids Hope Alliance is doing, yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Just to make sure we're all on the same page, once that report is available, or at least the preliminary reports are available, in what it says, I want to add that part. Well, do you think, and this is to everyone, do you all think you'll be able to digest that all in one sitting before we would incorporate it within the rest of the report, or do you think you would need time to digest it? I know we're way off, but
no. I think you're right on track, because let me sort of, I'll give you my idea. I would like to have I would like to present some raw numbers by March. And there's no way that we can digest that information in an hour or an hour and a half. So I would expect that we can then, in April, have time to look at what I have presented. And hopefully by the April commission meeting, maybe Mr. Weinstein's report is complete. And it would either, you know, say, you know, hey, day's off track, doesn't know what he's talking about, the need is not that great, or... he's way off the mark, and the need is twice that.
Yeah.
And I think that at that point, it's just going to be up to the prerogative of the commission. There may not be a consensus among our membership that we even want to weigh in on that topic. It's my opinion that one of the charges of this commission is to make recommendations on city finances as it relates to certain policies, if I read the ordinance correctly. And I think that's simply what I'm trying to do.
And for the record, I believe, Kids Hope Alliance, it used to be formed in JCC.
Correct.
So that's been around for years, but I should be a facilitator.
And before that, it was the Mayor's Commission on Children and Youth. I was a member of that in 1990.
I only asked that question because we may get the report of the plenary numbers and we say, yeah, we don't agree with that, or the way that you did it. Because we can't always assume that everything we get is going
to... And that's why I hope to have, during the next month, I'll be having additional conversations with Mr. Weinstein to make sure that my methodology is what they would support. So I'm not going to just, I don't want to go, you know, out in left field and come up with some idea and that it's completely wrong. I'm not going to do that. You know, I have enough... intellectual integrity that I don't want to put something out there that's artificial. So I will make sure that my methodology is grounded in some commonly accepted metric, just as I took the
state average from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement in determining the shortfall in the sheriff's office staffing. So that's how I'm approaching the issue.
And do you anticipate that the report that the consultant for KHA is going to produce is going to go into detail how they came to their assumptions, or is it just going to be like an executive?
I would hope it's a full-fledged report. I'll talk to Mr. Weinstein now that we've brought this to the forefront and we're ready to move forward. And maybe we invite him to come in and talk in April and to deliver that report, or whenever it's finished. It could be May before it's finished.
I think that would be helpful, because and I think Commissioner Roberts kind of spoke to it. I think it's going to be say we agree with it, we have to understand how they came to the assumption.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question. The co-responder program that they have, the $10 million, I think it's $10 million grant. Are you incorporating any of that information?
Yeah, that's my intention, is that now remember that grant doesn't start until April. We're still about 2 months out. What I don't know is
wait, I thought we're in the first iteration of the report.
They started hiring, and they have a couple of facilities set up in areas. I think
there are two zones. Now, remember, that is that's a program that has been out about a year now, I believe.
Yeah, it started when COVID started.
Okay, so it's been about 2 years. So now this $10 million grant, the whole concept behind the grant is to take this pilot program and now bring it to, and I'm told it'll be in all six zones, and it will be, and I don't know exactly how the, quote, the watch commands are organized. I don't know if it's by, I think they're like two commands per day and during the course of a week, but what I'm told, and again, I haven't seen this in writing, is that there will be, the $10 million will provide enough funding so that there will be a fully qualified professional mental health counselor or professional, mental health professional, available for each zone, for each watch command. I think that's the way it was explained to me. So we know we have six zones, and let's say that there are two watch commands every day and however many days in the week, whatever, you know, however they do the staffing. It's my understanding that $10 million is designed to staff that up. Now, the question is that enough money for 1 year or 2 years? Now, Sheriff has told me it's a multi-year grant. Okay, he didn't tell me for how many years, and I only had a limited amount of time to spend with him when I was talking to him. But I will be following up with the Sheriff's Office to say, okay, I need to see how much money is being spent each year of the grant, or however many years that it is. What is the staffing level? Because if we decide as a commission that we think this is a policy that should be pursued, then what we have to be able to do is just like I did in my staffing shortage. I showed you over a five-year period on how we staff up. So I would project that we would do the same thing. We would say, for the next 5 years, this is what it's going to cost, and if we want to strengthen it, it'll be an additional amount of money above and beyond. But that's money that we, as the citizens of Jacksonville, now we have to come out of pocket. You know, that's something, do we have the resolve to carry forward that type of program? And I hope the answer is yes, that we do, because it's needed. It's a very necessary component. We know that. And so the same thing is with the Kids Hope Alliance. We know that prevention works. It's just very expensive. But the payoff is in the out years. And we're able to intervene and save, if we're able to save children that would not otherwise be saved, you know, my personal opinion is that it's money. It's a well-intentioned, I think it's a highly valuable investment for this city, and that's how we begin to meet challenges, is by embracing the challenge, determining what level of resources it's going to take, and you know, I showed you, we're on average, we're generating about $53 million a year in new ad valorem revenue. That doesn't include any other revenue source out there available to the city. This is just what we generate from the growth in our own real estate tax base. And if we continue even at $50 million a year, and we know there could be some ups and downs in those years. So, you know, I tried to take a conservative number. That's why I took the average number. I didn't take the most recent increase, which is like $55 million. I didn't take that number. I took a relatively conservative number. And there's room to go even more conservative, but I think that we still will be generating enough money that part, and I'm not saying that we have to pull out every penny of that $55 million every year, but I am arguing as a citizen that I think we should pull some of that money out because we do know that city employees, they have to have raises. There are other, you know, we have to upgrade the equipment that the city operates. So what I'm arguing is simply, let's just take a certain percentage of that, and we do it over a multi-year time frame so that we can digest it and afford it. That's my whole argument, is we need to do this, we need to meet the challenge, and we need to do it in a way that's methodical and affordable.
So what was the name of that grant again, the one with the mental health and all, what was it called again?
Co-responder program.
The other thing, and I think I'd mentioned this either at the last meeting or meeting before that, is we're getting, the city's flush with cash at this particular moment. One of the things I think we have had a discussion of in depth is the fact that between the tranche of money that we received from the American Rescue Plan in last year's budget and this year's budget, that's going to be well over $350 million. And one of the things that that tranche of money can be used on is specifically, in addition to infrastructure and plugging budget holes, is law enforcement. And if that money is going to be used, as it was in last year's budget to give pay increases, like it was done, this is an opportunity for us to be able to use free money that we're receiving already, as opposed to using money that we're going to naturally. It's just an idea as to ways to offset the.
are we saying in motion something that we'll have to pay for down the line? You know, you're incurring responsibilities. You're paying for it with free money, and lo and behold, then you got to really pay for it.
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Roberts. I'm not a big fan of taking one-time money for out your spending that's going to be a recurring expenditure. I can see where you would take the one-time money to fill an emergency, but I think it's dangerous to get into a habit of trying to pay for recurring expenses with one-time revenues.
I understand. I'm just saying this: the city has had the habit of doing that anyway. And even if it's not using directly that money to fund this, there are other ways to offset things that are already in the budget for those one-time costs, and that would be a way to make more pools of money available.
I would suggest if we consider one-time money, we apply it towards debt.
Legally, we can't. You can't use that money.
You can't use it for debt?
You can't use it for debt, specifically written in. You can't use it for debt or lowering taxes.
Well, we can move it in and move some other funds out.
It contemplates that too.
Yeah.
The federal government decided to
do that.
Yeah, you can't. Good try, but no, you can't do that. Yeah. Well, they have clawbacks.
It looks like a one-time bash.
That's what I'm saying. It's one-time money you can only use for specific purposes. We used it for pay increases, which is obviously a reoccurring cost. It's going to be used again. The mayor and city council have seen a penchant of being able to use this to achieve certain policy decisions. It's just an idea I'm putting out there if that's where they've already decided to go, even if it may be contrary to where some of our members feel we should.
That's all I have.
Free money is free money.
You're great. great-great-grandchildren are going to be paying for this money.
And me. I'll agree with you there.
Oh, inflation's going to take care of
it. All right. Any other? That was really good discussion, by the way. But does anyone have any other points on this item on old business? All right, so why don't we go to the Peer Cities Comparison Research Report from Mr. Roberts that we delayed at the last meeting so that way we could discuss it and
you've got it there, and you've got a lot of tables at the back end, mm-hmm. and the tables will answer a lot more questions than the text do.
Do you guys have, I apologize, does everyone have a particular opinion as to how we should go through the report and then ultimately consider it, or has everyone already read through it and they're comfortable and we can proceed?
I have not had time to go through the report myself, but if you want to go and take it up, I'll follow along.
Where is everyone else?
Well, basically.
I'll do half of it.
Okay. Commissioner Roberts?
Well, basically, began with how we stack up against comparable cities.
Oh, yes.
And the question was?
FYI, I apologize. There is going to be another meeting that Jeff needs to go to, but has to get to by 6. Okay. So if we can finish by 5,
yes,
that will help him out, I'm assuming, tremendously.
A quick overview is that I found out of 9 other cities that had governmental arrangements similar to ours, that is, county and combined to a single consolidated government. And I picked those that were roughly our size. They included top some pretty wealthy ones, like San Francisco. And then there were some in the south, like Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Midwest, Indianapolis, Northern South, you know, Nashville, and Lexington, Kentucky, and far north, Boston, some in the mountains, Denver. We went up against all that and compared items such as what were the major expenditures that each city made, and reduced them to a per capita basis. Okay, so our comparisons had made, first of all, to expenditures on a per capita basis. Where do we rank? What's the averages? Then we try and relate it to income. After all, we have to pay for this stuff. So we come down basically to what proportion of our income is going out for these things.
You have to look at it that way.
Major areas that are covered, and those are such things as health, public safety, parks, recreation, roads, transportation, all the major items that the city spend money on. We make comparisons here between cities, both on a per capita basis and also relate to the income. Well, generally, we showed up pretty well. You know, we were putting out, while we turn up having less money than most income, basically, is lower. We were spending a fair share on it. And there were some areas where we perhaps fell short, and I think a major one was public health. Look into doing something. We should expand our efforts in this area. Education, we showed up short on education. And a lot of it was, we had the largest proportion that had some college, but apparently dropped out. So there used to be some money spent on encouraging people to finish. You know, you really need an educated group to attract businesses and other employers. This stuff, well, there's a wealth of information in it. I think the best use of it made is simply to distribute it among city council, you know, and the city government. Reference, you know, we can go into it further, but it should be kind of an encyclopedia of information. Small encyclopedia.
Do you think there's a I'm going to answer my own question, but do you think there's a correlation as to why we have a high percentage of people that don't finish secondary education? Is because of cost or for other factors that you kind of?
I think it partly cost, and I think a lot of it has to do with this lack of, how can I say, inspiration. Lack of anybody being to push them some. Or lend them some money when they really need it. Give them some grants.
Sorry, I meant post-secondary.
Some grants. I think it's a matter of encouragement, and put some money in that too.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Roberts, I have a couple of questions. On your table A1, which is, and we'll just focus on the first column since that's Jacksonville. You have a line item, total revenue, $4,012,538,000. And I know the city budget is about $1.5 billion, if I remember correctly, the current budget that was just adopted by the city council. And I know the school board budget is somewhere around $2 billion, I think. Tommy?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So my question is, I know the city budget is not $4 billion. So what are the elements that comprise this $4
billion? Well, the elements would have been the school budget, of course.
Okay. Would you have included the total revenue from JEA and the other authorities?
Oh, yes. The JEA, JTA. Okay. They're all so-called...
They're component units.
Component units.
Right. So then if our total revenue is $4 billion and our total expenditures are $5.2 billion, how are we running a $1.2 billion deficit without the news media screaming at the top of their lungs? But then down below, you have expenses excluding component units. And I
that was revenue excluding components.
Okay. So then of that $4
billion,
and we take out the component units, that would put us at $1,717,000,000. Okay. And is that the city budget for fiscal year 22?
Should have been 2019.
Okay. So then the city budget in 2019, we know it wasn't $1.5 billion. So is there any way to get some detail on what elements comprise these various numbers for the city of Jacksonville?
I'll have to go into my spreadsheets to do it.
Okay. But do you see what my question is? If we're going to focus on the city of Jacksonville proper, which is the general fund and the various other funds that make up, quote, core city services. And I look at the JEA and I look at the JAA and the Port Authority and Those are, in essence, those are businesses that are owned by the public.
Many cities in the comparison operate these as city institutions.
They, and at one time, the JEA was the city.
The JEA was the city.
City of Jacksonville Electric Department. Same thing with the, yeah, the airport. It was the airport department.
You have to pull those things in.
Yeah. But those don't really, but what I'm talking about is really what are core city functions. You know, not the Aviation Authority that is in essence a separate enterprise. The Port Authority, it has a separate revenue stream apart from, you know, that are just focused on its normal business activities. And the same thing with the aviation and the JEA. That
you can tell me specifically what you're looking for.
I would like to know what is just the city of Jacksonville without any of the related authorities.
Oh. Want this for everything?
No, not all the cities. I mean, I'm just wanting to focus on the city of Jacksonville.
Okay. What are costs and income? Or Jack's proper. That does include the schools, doesn't it?
I know the school and board's the courts, a separate political corporation.
And the courts?
Courts are funded by the state government. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, courts are
and fees
put into this too.
Well, in Florida, that's not. I mean, I would tend personally just to look at what can be compared for Florida.
I let me just ask this question because I know we're running on time, and I think it's just coming down to this particular way he did it. And you tell me if I'm wrong, Mr. Roberts. You're trying to use all these cities like for like. Jacksonville is unique from what Mr. Day is saying, because many of these core functions that these like cities incorporate within their budget and are run as city departments is different. Even though they're components of the city doesn't have direct control over them. So do you think that separating that out, at least for Jacksonville, will give a clearer idea in terms of the revenue and expense line items?
Is I don't know. Right? I'd have to do it for all of us.
Not necessarily. I mean,
on a comparison basis, I'd have to do these subtractions from every other city.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I can see here that
if you want to, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Know.
Oh no, there's not enough. There's geez, it'd take us 6 months to do that. So, for instance, I'm looking over at Baton Rouge. They had total revenue of $3.4 billion, total expenses of $1.7 billion. Man, they had a healthy surplus. And then New Orleans is in perfect balance. Louisville, a slight, you know, $200-something million deficit. Indianapolis, revenues of $4 billion and expenses of only $2.5 billion. So they had about $1.5 billion surplus. I guess my curiosity is, why can they have such dramatic surpluses and we're showing such a dramatic deficit?
I can't tell you. I might be able to dig back and find out.
If you can bring it to a close.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, I just would personally like some additional breakdown just on Jacksonville. I don't need the other cities. But I would want to see like a time series, but that's neither here nor there. But
Jacksonville, you want to?
I would. Because the city council has no authority over the school board. The public schools are run by the school board, not the city council. And the authorities, they're separate political corporations, just like the city of Jacksonville.
I think where Mr. Roberts is going to go is, if we do all of that, then you're not going to, I'm putting words in your mouth, you're not going to be able to look at them side by side afterwards.
What he has here is very helpful in terms of comparison with peer cities. And then I see the data, and I'm going, whoa, why is, Jacksonville $1.2 billion higher expenses and revenues? And that's what would just make me, I just want to dig deeper into Jacksonville. I mean, we know that the other numbers for the cities, they are what they are for that year, and I would be interested in looking.
I'll dig out what I can on Jacksonville then. And
all right, thank you.
Bring it to and itemize it.
If we can, just to make sure that we don't put Mr. Roberts in the position where we get to the meeting and we say we're ready, and then we say we haven't looked at it, if you can make a conscious effort to everyone to kind of review it, any questions that you may have, possibly send it to Jeff so that way Mr. Roberts can be prepared.
Yep. So we can ask questions of Mr. Roberts through Mr. Clements, right. Correct?
Okay. Sure.
I think that's only fair to you.
Yeah, I agree.
You have to remember that the purpose for this was to give an overriding view of Duval County, as it compares with like organizations. And if it's to be of any use, it's to all the policymakers, the school board, the city council, whoever else is in the position.
Thank you.
Okay. Any commissioner comments? All right, so the next full commission meeting is on March the 3rd. At that point.
Move we adjourn?
Yes, thank you. Second? Anyone object?
No.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, Jeff. I'm heading in the same direction, so I get it.